Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com, and it is Sunday, September the 8th, 2024, and I have the honor to have Professor James Fetzer on with me and Professor Joel, and I'm going to hand the mic over to you, should we say, Jim, and give us your latest report, and I'll get Joel to do his as well.
That in just a few days we'll have the 23rd observance of 9/11, which occurred on 2001. It was a completely contrived event orchestrated by the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Osama bin Laden had nothing to do with it. He was actually an officer in the CIA, Colonel Tim Osman. He was pilloried as a patsy for what happened there. The 19 Islamic terrorists were likewise additional targets of abuse because they too had nothing to do with it. In fact, two of the planes, Flight 11 North Tower and Flight 77 Pentagon, were not even in the air that day, while the other two, Flight 93 Shanksville and Flight 175 South Tower, were still in the air after they had allegedly crashed in Shanksville. In that case, Flight 93 was over Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, and 175 over Harrisburg and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where I tracked down Federal Aviation Administration registration records that showed that the actual physical aircraft used for those two flights, remembering the same plane could one day fly from Tampa to Chicago, the next from New York to San Francisco, were not even formally deregistered or taken out of service until 28 September 2005. So how can planes that were not even in the air have crashed on 9/11, and how can planes that crashed on 9/11 have still been in the air 4 years later? The plan was devised by Benjamin Netanyahu and Ehud Olmert, was also a PM of Israel, in order to create a fabricated excuse for American troops to be deployed to the Middle East, and NATO forces used to take out modern Arab states that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region, and eventually to confront the Persian nation of Iran. It went well until in Syria, Bashar al-Assad, the democratically elected president of Syria, requested the assistance of Russian and Iranian troops. Many believe that today what's going on in Israel and Gaza is a continuation of the effort to create the greater Israel of Zionist dreams, which would take up a good section of Israel, most of Saudi Arabia, a lot of Iraq, all of Jordan, all of Lebanon. Remember, the two blue lines on the Israeli flag represent the Tigris, Euphrates, and the Nile River, respectively. In other words, creating the greater Israel from the Tigris to the Nile. And everyone needs to understand it was a huge sham. The Biden, the Bush, Cheney administration had to be put in place by stealing the election. In that case, it was on a relatively modest scale, where their brother Jeb was the governor of Florida. We all remember the hanging chads. But the Supreme Court improperly intervened in the election to impose them in office, and where on 9/11 Dick Cheney was running the shop from a bunker beneath the White House, where Michael Rupert, in his brilliant book, Crossing the Rubicon, established Cheney's crucial role as executive director on 9/11 from publicly available sources. So the public needs to understand what happened there. I believe that since JFK was taken out, that the government, the bureaucrats, but the bad people have recognized they're capable of deceiving the American people in ways massive by virtue of control of the media. And they continue right to this day, where they're attempting to convince the world that Kamala Harris, who is a total airhead, a doofus if ever there were one, is some kind of superwoman who can save the nation. I'm glad to report that even the New York Times is acknowledging that the national polls show Trump leading nationwide, which is remarkable, because there are more Democrats, especially in Democrat cities, but because of the Electoral College, even though they may win the popular vote, as did Hillary in 2016, Trump wouldn't have the capacity to win the Electoral College vote as he did then and would be likely to do again today. But there is so much reaction to the fabricated Kamala, the phony events, the over the border, the collapsing economy, the lawlessness, not enforcing the laws, defunding the police. I think it's going to be a tough for them to even rig the polls enough to make it look as though she could possibly, they could steal the election on her behalf. That is my hope. And I think with some reasonable justification, I believe, by the way, that the decision by this Judge Merchant to not sentence Trump until after the election was because the Democrats finally figured out that he'd get a huge surge of support for being sent to prison that was going to catapult, make impossible their plans to steal the election, so had it deferred, not out of any sense of justice or lack of desire to interfere in the election, because that would give the Democrats a better outcome than if he were to be sentenced to Rikers before the election, which they calculated to be catastrophic.
Interesting.
Here's a couple of comments that I think it would be interesting, that would interest the audience. Several years ago, I ran across a book that I can't find to this day by a woman by the name of Elizabeth Ross, I think. And it was a book called The Immaculate Deception. It was a fictitious nonfiction parody of taking on what happened to the planes and the entire scenario. But in that was an attached set of photographs, because these photographs revealed what was happening up on the 91st floor of the tower, of where the art students were performing an art of where he would appear before the edge of the pane of the window with a helicopter standing off taking your picture. Well, after all of that was done, other pictures were taken of the inner workings of these art students, and there were boxes and boxes and boxes that were standing up on each other's end, but it was a clear picture in which you could read the title on the boxes. And they said, detonators. In other words, it is further proof of the Mossad and the art student and their and being involved in 9/11. And I find that very interesting. And to this day, I can't find that book, and I can't find the pictures.
I know. I've seen the Immaculate Deception. Now, I'm going to add to this, on this 9-1-1, John Lear, who was a test pilot, and his dad built the flying saucers between 52 and 59 for the government, from the alien agreement. Anyway, John, he lived down the street from me, but he was a good friend. And I took Rodney Stitch over there one Christmas Eve, called him up last minute, said, hey, Rodney's in town, bring him on over to my house. So we did, went over and had a good talk. But John, I had interviewed several times. I think it was on Radio Bar 3 or Radio Bar 4 on my website. You'll see the name John Lear. And it was an hour and a half, and he admits to his dad building the flying saucers. But John was hooked in with the one you mentioned earlier, Jim, the guy's name. They were exposing the fact that there was a pyramid on Mars. And the whole bit. And they even had it on a local TV station there in Las Vegas. They did I forgot what it was. They did it. But here was one of the things he said. He said the planes were holograms. And that our fighter jets have them. They can shoot them out there about 1,000 miles ahead of themselves. And it makes it look like a jet hit the tower. But he wrote in an affidavit, because John was the highest ranked pilot in the world. He had all the ratings of different ratings that any pilot could have, and he flew every jet there was. And he flew out there at the test site at Area 51 for Gov. And that's what got him crippled at the last in his feet. But John said they fired holograms on the place. And it was, he said, I flew that jet that they claimed hit the tower. He said, that wasn't the jet. And the pictures of that aren't the jet. It's a hologram. And he says, Stu, he says, if you notice, he says, there aren't even wing marks on the first one. He said, what would have happened because of the way that structure of the building was built, the amount of concrete and so forth, he says, it could take a plane attack like that, and it wouldn't do anything. The plane wings would have broke off, the tail section would have broke off, he said, and fell to the ground. And there weren't any tails, wings, so jets supposedly went inside of it, and then the second one supposedly, but it wasn't. And that first one, I got a picture up on my website of the devil's face popping out of the smoke of that place that they claim it hit. But John said it was a hologram. Now, Otis Johnson, Super Spook, told me they hit it with the death ray. And the death ray is out there at East Systems. Raytheon Corp owned one of our major defense contractors. And it's out in what they call S4, out there by Area 51 and Groom Lake and the test sites and the alien base at Papoose Lake and so forth. That's even my dad's company, Bendix, that's raided, has a place out there. Anyway, he was a VP in Kansas City, but before he retired. But Raytheon, their death ray, when they built the Hoover Dam, only two of those generators out there went to the civilian side and to feed them their electricity. The others went to the top secret S4, they call it. It's a huge, huge amount of land out there with different areas and so forth. But S4, they had the death ray. They had enough energy from those Hoover Dam generators that Bush could pull it off with their new toy, see if they could drop the building. They hit it with what they called the death ray, and it burned a hole right down through, made that thing just implode, period. That's what happened. And then all of a sudden, building number two goes down. That was the death ray, okay? That was intentional. But there were explosives planted in certain areas to ensure that the building broke on a certain floor level. But that wasn't all that did it. But that went off at the same time as what I heard. Now, a lot of people speculated a nuclear bomb in the basement. No. No bomb like that, that I believe ever happened. But anyway, that's what I learned from John. And from Otis, the death ray is the things that took them down. Now, there was a lady I interviewed, and I forgot her name. Her husband was in one of those one of the airplanes that supposedly hit the tower. But a reporter was standing inside of an airport in Ohio where they landed that airplane, and he sees the tail number, and he's sitting there watching on the news that one just hit the tower. It didn't hit the tower. It landed in Ohio. You know where it went? The NASA Space Center has a place there that they took that airplane. And she found out later because the reporter wrote about it. And she picked up on it because she wanted to know where her husband was. But another plane landed there also, which was the one that supposedly hit the ground over there and wherever it was. I forgot. But anyway, that's some of the things I know about 911. Anyway.
Well, these are some of the things you certainly believe about 911, but, well, I myself have contended that Richard D. Hall was correct about the use of holograms in New York City, which you have John Lear confirming. It appears to have been, the demolition of the Twin Towers appears to have been done by a mini-nuke in the sub-basement that blew the inner tube from the bottom up and then had the residual effect of blowing the outer tube from the top down. Now, you must understand that I founded Scholars for 9/11 Truth in December 2005, that when Alex Jones had his American Scholars Conference in Los Angeles in June of 2006, he invited me to be the keynote speaker. That when they had the panel discussion on Sunday, the four speakers, moderated by Alex, were all from Scholars. Yeah, it was Steve Jones, Bob Bauman, Webster Tarpley, and myself that I've been flown around the world to address 9/11, including Buenos Aires twice, including Athens, Greece, and conducted multiple conferences on 9/11 in London, in Madison, in Vancouver. And I simply have to dissent from some of the claims you're making, Stu, about how the destruction took place. Plus, as I'm already explained, two of the planes were not even in the air. When you talk about Flight 93, and I believe that's what you meant, it was reported to have landed in Cleveland.
That was it.
There's a very fascinating video called Operation Terror by Art Olivier. It suggests a passenger were offloaded and were led into a gigantic structure, not realizing it was for their cremation, that it was where they destroy parts by going to super high temperatures. I'm not in a position to vouch for that either, but I will tell you, Flight 93 did not crash in Shanksville. Flight 175 did not hit the South Tower, and the other two planes weren't even in the air that day. So anyone who wants to follow up, I'm going to be doing a show about 9/11 on Revolution Radio tomorrow from noon to 2 Eastern Time. If you want to hear it or call in, because I'm going to be taking calls for most of the show, it's at revolution.radiostudioB. I do have a video clip, a wonderful piece by Stephanie Sledge about 9/11 that I'm going to play. It runs around 20 minutes, but most of the show I'm going to be taking calls. So that's just for the record, Stu. I recognize your...
And you know, it could have been...
And I respect your disagreement with me. That's not a problem.
No, it's, you know, nothing hit the building, that's for sure, but it was holograms. I'm convinced of it. But it could have been very easily a nuke, with what you described. Very easily, because I know about nukes. Anyway, could have been to drop it, but I got word from Otis, and he was pretty much accurate all the time, said he says they were testing the death rate to see if they could do it. But anyway, Joe, what do you got to add to this? Anything?
Joe, would you like to add more about 9/11?
I'm convinced that it was a death ray and nukes that were used on the building. Both.
They wanted to test it. Bush wanted to test that toy.
Yeah. And because they've even traced how they were brought in and how they were placed and that these tactical nukes were brought out of Amarillo or some other place like that, and then taken over to Israel, refurbished, and then brought back in.
And that would be Amarillo, yes.
So
my father's company used to deliver toys down there. Leave it that way.
Mm-hmm. So I would say that it was a combination both of a death ray. Now, many years ago when I was up on Mount Whitney, I talked to a guy that had just the day before been in Holloman Air Force Base, of where he witnessed where a DARPA-guided 747 aircraft had missiles, Nike missiles, shot at it, of where they used death rays to shoot the missile that was aiming at them, shoot it out of the air. So this was a long time ago, so I'm quite sure they have the ability today with a laser and can be used as a weapon on an aircraft, or can do whatever they want with it.
Yeah, they're dangerous. Very dangerous. Anyway, Jim, what else do you have?
Yeah. Well, meanwhile, they're doing their best to make come all out to be some kind of superhero, but it doesn't seem to be working with the public. Even the New York Times has acknowledged that Trump is leading nationwide, which is highly unusual because there are more registered Democrats and they're concentrated in the cities. And it means that historically Democrats can have a national lead and yet lose because of the Electoral College. That happened in 2016 when Trump beat Hillary. She actually won the popular vote, and the Democrats have carried a grudge about it ever since, where the Founding Fathers recognized that if these elections were done on a national basis, a popular vote, then the smaller states would tend to become marginalized and not have their legitimate interests recognized, which was a part of the creation of the Electoral College on the one hand, and of senators, each state having two United States senators, which was, of course, to conduct foreign policy. The president conducts foreign policy with the advice and consent of the Senate to ensure those smaller states could not simply be ruled out, ignored, marginalized. It's part of the genius of the document known as the Constitution. And yet we even have some rather prominent Democrat figures, even the dean of the law school at Berkeley, Erwin Chemerinsky, declaring that the Constitution is outmoded and needs to be revised or replaced on the ground, basically, that he thinks the election of president should be popular. It's really totally partisan to make such arguments. It's irresponsible in the extreme. And we're getting this from mediocrities. But where Hillary, you know, has never forgiven Trump for beating her, and of course would therefore support such a move.
I call her Hildebeest. Not Hillary, Hildebeest.
We have some, despicable Republicans who are now claiming to support Kamala, but it's really out of fear of what Trump could do to them by holding them account. And that includes Dick Cheney and his daughter Liz Cheney, both of whom are really contemptible figures. So it's also a sign of desperation.
Liz Bo Cheney.
That resorting to that. And, they have the election rigged. The question is, can they get away with it? If there's an overwhelmingly massive support for Trump, which I believe is materializing, they may be unable to get away with it because it's just not plausible to claim that Kamala was so popular.
By the way,
the
name I use for her is the prostitute Kamala, because she was a prostitute. Go ahead.
She's even bussing in participants, even for the DNC. They couldn't get the seats filled. So we have reports from individuals who are approached, offered $150 to come to the convention. When they showed up, because they could use the money, indeed they were paid off. They didn't hang around. They had some free food and then left because they're voting for Trump. But it's happening on these campaign stops. They're having to bus in parties to make it appear as though they have people of interest. I may have mentioned in the past, in Phoenix the day before the election of 2020, there was a rare joint appearance between Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and nobody, zero, came. They were that popular. The guy would later be acclaimed to have got 81 million votes more than any other candidate in American history. Just complete rubbish, bullshit, gaslighting. That's all the Democrats have to offer.
Well, you know, Mike Lindell, I think his name is, he proved it. Him and his company, the employees spent the money to investigate. Joe, do you remember what the number of states were that were actually Trump won?
Well, what I had heard about from Mike Lindell himself was that he had the evidence of the cyberspace flipping that took place in China someplace. And so it kind of fits in the same thing that happened with George Walker Bush when he, on his Diebold machines, where they flipped the votes. So I think if there's going to be any flipping, it's going to be done on cyberspace.
Mm-hmm. It will be. Typical.
And it's going to be the one who controls cyberspace, who, by the way, this points back to how that could be, because, well, you go back to Bill Hamilton and his algorithm that was developed and then stolen by Maxwell and then given to Israeli.
Yep.
Israel.
Inslaw.
Their CPU, which they attach to all CPUs that have a Intel motherboard, and so they can go in place anytime, anywhere, and go in the back door.
Now, the Bill, because I know him and talked to him several times, but Bill has a site, I think it's called inslaw-law.com. But he was the one that Bush was stole the software. And he had congressional investigation hearings about it. And they said it was the most breaches, or whatever they call it, attempt to steal from an American that sold it as prosecutor. So if they had a savings loan collapse, and a prosecutor was investigating, or FBI, and so forth, but they couldn't quite get the real criminals. But, say, Larry Mizell's name pops up. Well, over here. Then they get another one, another bank robbery of some type, and it's, stealing from the bank, bankrupting it, and too many loans. And so, anyway, they got another one over here at another state. Well, this was supposed to be a federal prosecutor's hookup between, in the computer system with Inslaw, that their name would pop up and then pop up over there. Well, they're getting him now, RICOing him, RICO him. And that's what it was about. Bill never got paid a dime, $200 million. They stole his software. And Bush sells it to the Israelis, and they created the company now that owns the United States phone company. This is our congressmen, senators, government officials, everything are owned, that they use an Israeli telephone company and internet company. That was Inslaw. So I'd bring it up. You got anything to add on that, Jim? Okay.
No, I think we ought to bring it to an end now, because that's all I got.
Okay. Jim, are you still there?
Well, the situation is very serious in Ukraine. It appears that Russia has given formal notification to the United States, France, Germany, and the UK. And if they allow long-range strikes into Russia, that will be regarded as a declaration of war. And, of course, Russia is in the process of revising their nuclear policy, which in the past has been not to be the first to use nukes, only resorting to nukes if the existence of the state were at risk. But the use of long-range strikes would certainly fit into that category. I believe they are 100% serious. Among the targets I've heard identified are Boeing, Raytheon, General Dynamics, the Pentagon, and let us hope Langley. Frankly, none of them would be missed. But I believe we are on the edge, because the heads of the CIA and MI6 both congratulate Zelensky on his bold move with the exercise into Kursk, which has led to the deaths of 10,000 additional Ukrainian soldiers, greatly weakening the Ukrainian army and infuriating Russia. So it's now resorting to much heavier forms of battle than in the past. One 3,000-pound bomb that killed over over 2,000 Ukrainians in a single blast, and others. They've also provided Iran with Iskander missiles and with S-400 anti-missile defense systems, which are among the best in the world. In fact, no one in the West has anything to compare. And where it appears that Iran now has acquired nuclear weapons from North Korea. So that I think that the balance of power is greatly on the side of Iran and Russia. Israel is doing its best to finagle the United States into attacking Iran, and I dare say Donald Trump has all but assured them that that would happen if he were to become president. Whether he means it or not, it's a terrible thing to have asserted or said, and I'm very, very upset about it. On the other hand, we have guaranteed disaster if Harris Waltz were to be in office, and we are running a risk with Trump, but it's a risk we have to run because there really is no alternative.
Now, I want to add something to the nuclear material pile for a minute, Jim. I'm aware of it. Up on my website, go to the middle column, scroll down until you see a fighter jet. Patching. And those documents that are in there came from John Cole. He was counterintelligence, FBI. He was doing a sting operation on Gunther Rosbacher. And Gunther's written about, and I talked to Gunther, he's written about the book, The Fraud in America by Rodney Stitch, where my name appears too. Now, I never met him in person, talked to him. And it was over the Denver International Airport because he had part of Tower 64 or something, Tower Partnership. Well, that's when I found out that they were what was known as Rocky Flats. And you can look at it. It says Rocky Flats. There's a picture there also. But they were taking the material, Gunther Rosbacher was, and they were shipping it in cranberry juice trucks, ocean spray. Okay, it set off the alarms just like nuclear material would. So they never suspected it. And they shipped it from Rocky Flats to Apex Aviation, St. Louis, Missouri, Israeli company. And they flew it from there to Israel. Israel later sold it to North Korea. They sold it to other countries, including Iran and others that would pay the price that Bush and the Israelis were making off of the damn stuff. And then later, they claimed there was 1,700 pounds or something worth of plutonium or uranium, whichever it was, at Rocky Flats, scattered along the hillside. My ex-father-in-law built the houses, him and Mizell, Richmond American Homes, built houses on the place after they cleaned it off, and Melman City Corp got the dump, and they were dumping the stuff in the local landfill instead of taking it out to Nevada. And City Corp, a bank, doing cleanup of nuclear material where they actually did it. And I know because a former attorney who was a prosecutor in Colorado told me that she had a employee from one of the companies. I don't want to say it was Deffenbaugh for sure, but it was some company like that, big trash company, that was dumping it in the local dump site, which was on the North Platte River, which runs north out of downtown Denver. And it runs, goes to South Platte as well, but it splits down there near there. And it goes and feeds the water supply south of I-80 all across Nebraska. That's the North Platte River runs there and dumps into the Missouri. But they contaminated that water supply in north of Denver. And the people are complaining of the drinking water that they're getting nosebleeds for 2 and 3 days in a row. Taking them off water coming out of the faucet. They're claiming that it's radiation coming out of there. This attorney prosecutor had to leave the country. They're trying to kill her because she was going to prosecute them. So anyway, that's something to deal with the uranium. I'm aware that Iran got sold from the Israelis and others. So they've had the material, Jim, for a while. It's just a matter of, are they going to use it?
Well, Jim.
What's that?
Stu, the the uranium enrichment of uranium has been a major issue for decades now. I mean, this is where Netanyahu keeps claiming they're going to get the bomb. I'm telling you, they haven't produced it themselves. They had no intent, but they have acquired them from North Korea because Israel is threatening them. They want the United States to attack Iran with nuclear weapons. So it's a bit of a different situation. It's not them acquiring nuclear material. Scott Ritter's been an inspector there, for crying out loud. You know, I mean, this has been a big deal with the International Atomic Energy Agency and all that about inspecting. That's what about the Iran deal was all about that. In any case, I think we're in dire straits and the situation about as serious as it could get, and that as far as I can tell, the nuclear clock is about a second to midnight.
Do you think? Might be. Might very well be. What's your opinion here, Joe?
Exactly with what Jim is saying.
And it's
they could just take a little push. However, there's one little element that I'm trying to figure out. I believe that Israel, because Zelensky has said this, that they are going to make that country into a little Israel. And I think the population loss of the Slavs is now up to 2/3, which would make it very convenient because there are Israelis moving back into that area. And I find that interesting.
That's where a lot of them came from. That's interesting, Joe. Well, you gentlemen, either one of you have anything else you want to touch on?
We're good.
I think the one thing we ought to tell everybody, and Joe keeps reminding me, get more ammo. Buy more ammo. Get prepared.
Yes. Yes.
One last comment. Expect many Black Swan events between now and November.
Black Lives Matter, all kinds of other stuff you're going to be seeing.
Shootings that are like happening on the freeway now. Those could probably be Black Swan events, so keep your eyes peeled and your ears open.
Now watch out for the squatters. The latest one is out in Colorado, out in Aurora. Venezuelans are going in squatting in people's homes and apartments and saying that they live there. Well, the police can't kick them out because they're considered to be a squatter, and they have to go to court and everything else to get them out of their place. Can you believe that? Someone comes to squatting.
I'm not sure you're current on what's going on in Aurora. The latest reports I have is the police have cracked down. They've broken the gangs and they've arrested them. So
did they? Oh, good. Good. I hope that's true because they need to be. Okay, gentlemen, anything last words either way?
Not here.
Okay, I want to thank you both for coming on with me. Professor Jim Fetzer, James Fetzer, and Professor Joe. And you can listen to his radio broadcast. Give it out again, Jim.
Yeah, tomorrow, all on 9/11 on the Raw Deal on Revolution Radio. You can listen to revolution.radio. Studio B from noon to 2 Eastern. You're welcome to call in. All 9/11, all show.
All right. So thank you, Jim. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. You too. Have a good one.